Two scripture readings this morning, both of them from the Gospel of Matthew. First of all, from the 10th chapter of Matthew, a verse that we're working on all month, because it contains the four things that Jesus wants us to do as his disciples. Chapter 10, verse 8. These four things that we're called upon to do: cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Jesus says to his followers, you have received without payment, give without payment. Now today we're going to be talking about cleansing the leper, so we take a look in Matthew at the first story that appears right after the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 8. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. There was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I do choose. Be made clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And then Jesus said to him, now see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. The Lord always blesses the reading of the Holy Scripture. Okay, today we're going to focus on the command Jesus gives his followers to cleanse the lepers. But before we can really get too deep into this, I need to bring you up to speed on leprosy in the Bible times. So, in order to do that, I'm going to need a little bit of help. Mary, would you come up here, please? Tim, would you come up here, please? Tammy, would you come up here, please? Tom, would you come up here, please? I just need to stand here. Mm-hmm. You're going to be judges this morning, okay? Judge, I need you to give everybody your best judgmental look, all right? So maybe get the posture here. Really look around the congregation. Give them the eye here, okay? Really look at them, because you are going to be judging these people that are sitting out here, all right? Because in order to understand leprosy, it is absolutely crucial that we have a body of judges to be able to determine who has leprosy and who doesn't. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about your role in a moment, but just stand here and look judgmental. And don't forget to look at the people in the balcony either. So, everybody's going to be included here. All right, so here are our judges. Now, you see, leprosy in the Bible was a whole system. It involved several different people. It involved the priests, who were the judges. Come on, judges, all right. It involved the priests, who were the judges, but it also involved people who were in the community, because you see, if you had leprosy, you were not about to self-report that any more than if you have a pimple on your belly, you're not going to come in and start showing everybody, right? Unless you're 4 years old, which, all right, so it's just not something you do. In Bible times, if you have leprosy, you're not going to self-report it. It's going to be somebody who snitches on you, who's going to be turning you in to the judges. So, I'm going to need the help of the rest of the congregation. Now, without being too obvious, I want you to just sort of check out your neighbors around you, all right? Because it's going to be your job to be sure that if your neighbor has leprosy, you bring them up here to the judges in order to be judged so that they can make that final determination. So, okay, are you ready now to kind of check out your neighbors? Okay. Does your neighbor have a pimple anywhere? Does your neighbor have like a little bump somewhere? Does your neighbor, it can be anywhere on the body, all right? Does your neighbor have a single hair that seems to be white? Have you noticed your neighbor seems to be scratching herself or himself? Does there seem to be an itch there somewhere? Is there any sort of a blotch? Is there any part of the skin that seems to be a different color from some other part of the skin? All right, are you checking each other out here? All right, now I want all eyes closed. All eyes closed. If your neighbor needs to be brought to the judge, will you please raise your hand? All eyes closed. Okay, I can see, judges, you've got some work that's going to be cut out for you now. All right? Now, here's the thing. Let me give... Oh, you can open your eyes. Unless you've already fallen asleep, then just keep at it. All right, now, so here now is the deal with the judges. You see, it's going to be your job to determine who has leprosy and who doesn't. So, first of all, remember this is in the Bible times, so if you have glasses, please take them off. Because, all right, please take off your glasses. All right, so you're just going to have to wing this. Remember, you're not going to have any medical equipment. You're not going to have any other equipment to do tests on. You're just going to have to decide whether somebody has leprosy. Well, I guess just sort of out of your own mind, okay? So you're going to, it's not that you're going to be able to see all that clearly. So as people bring suspects to you, let's just call them suspects, as people bring suspects to you to be judged, you are going to have to decide based on whether you think this person is just has a temporary problem that's not really leprosy, or, and, oh, by the way, the term is not really defined. You get to decide what leprosy is. So it's in whatever you decide, okay? It does have something to do with how somebody looks, though. But it's entirely your decision, because in the Bible, the definition is very, very vague. So now, here's the thing. You will have to determine, if somebody's brought to you, whether they should be quarantined for a little while. And that's usually the first thing. If you can see anything unusual, then they just need to stay in the house for 7 days, all right? And then they come back to you, and if it doesn't look any worse, then make them go and stay in their house another 7 days. And then if they bring them back to you, at any point, though, any point along the way, if you can see that this looks like it's real trouble, just whatever in your mind real trouble would mean, if you can see that this is in real trouble, then it is your job to send that person out of town. They do not get to be a part of the community. They cannot come in and go to the downtown diner anymore. All right? If they cannot come to McDonald's, they cannot go to Hardee's, they cannot go to Walmart, they cannot be with anybody else. You have the authority to exile them totally. Now, do you feel more? I can see your chests are puffing out even more here. You can tell the power that these priest judges have. Now, well, as long as you can have people bringing lepers to you, all right? So, now, here's the deal, though. You probably are wondering that, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, I'm not going to do this for free. You want to be paid. So you're probably wanting to know how the pay occurs. Okay, so here's how the pay occurs. If you determine that somebody doesn't have leprosy, no pay. All right? So you only get paid if you decide that these suspects have leprosy. All right? So that's the first thing. No pay unless you can come up with some diagnosis that people have leprosy. Now, here's another thing, though. You don't get paid actually for the diagnosis. You really don't get paid until you have sent that person out of town, and then they are allowed to come back to you to see whether they've been cleansed of their leprosy. If you decide that they haven't been, you have to send them back out of town again, no pay. But if you decide that somebody has been cleansed of their leprosy, then they have to give you lots and lots of food. All right? So, that's how the system works. You got it? Okay, if you don't diagnose anybody, no pay. If you do diagnose somebody, you only get paid whenever they come back and try to be restored and declared that they've been cleaned. All right?
Now, this is very complicated.
But you do know how to get food when you need it, right? So, okay. So you've got your instructions. So now, after the service, you see the four judges here, after the service is over, please bring anybody suspect to one of these four judges for a judgment. Thank you very much. And I know you're going to be very busy afterward here. All right. So that's how it worked. If you haven't got the idea yet, leprosy in the Bible was a scam. Pure and simple. It was just a scam. And it was abused by the system. Now, when we talk today about leprosy, today we're usually referring to what is also called Hansen's disease. And it's an extremely lethal problem that somebody can get. It basically involves the disintegration of one's flesh until you die. It's a terminal disease, basically. So when we read about leprosy today, we're reading about an extremely serious disease. In Bible times, they had no knowledge of that disease. So it's really unfortunate that the Bibles translate the Hebrew and Greek word as leprosy. It's not a valid translation. The Hebrew word for what we're talking about is za'ara, and the Greek word is lepra. And in Hebrew and in Greek, those words are very nonspecific. They're never defined. Both words simply mean there's something weird going on with your skin or with your hair. That's what they mean. So here we have a system built on what the community is to do whenever somebody looks like something strange is going on. All right? Now, most of the time, if there's something strange going on, we're the first to notice it, aren't we? And we look at something, and we generally have two approaches. One is we just ignore it. Or the other extreme is we may be hypochondriac, and we maybe get on the internet right away to try to find, these days we get on the internet right away to find out what we've got. And we're pretty sure that we're going to die by the eighth or ninth, thing that we Google, right, on that. So whenever there's anything going on in our bodies or on our bodies, think of the anxiety that that causes. It either causes us enough anxiety that the anxiety is such that either we want to look it up or try to find out, and we worry about it until we can get a diagnosis and until it goes away, or we worry about it so much that we don't even want to think about it. And we put it out of our mind. So things that are going on the body are anxiety producing, aren't they? Now, whenever something appears to us on somebody else that looks different, that also can be anxiety producing. And when we look at somebody and we see something strange that we can't put our finger on, we can't exactly diagnose, again, anxiety. Leprosy in the Bible is about anxiety. That something is going wrong. That something isn't right. That something doesn't look right. That something is not conforming to the way it is supposed to be. Leprosy in the Bible, and I want to be sure that we get this very clear, that we're very clear about this. In the Bible, leprosy is entirely in the eye of the beholder. Entirely. There really is no such thing as an actual objective problem called leprosy in the Bible. It's entirely the judgment of another person towards someone who has something different going on. It is entirely in the eye of the beholder. It is entirely subjective. There's no objective reality to it. Now, this does not keep people from developing a whole system to try to deal with their anxieties. And to just because it's subjective doesn't mean that you can't develop a whole system for people to try to control what they think is weird in other people. It happens not just in primitive cultures, but it happens in developed cultures today. We take a look at our own life in our own world, and we think about what are things about other people, what are things about the looks of other people that may cause us anxiety. Now, I like to think of myself as, you know, sort of a cool person that doesn't get anxious about stuff, but about the way other people look. But I got to tell you, if somebody, if a clerk waits on me that has her tongue pierced, I still have problems with that look. I mean, okay, all right. So you know, it's possible that the way somebody else looks causes us anxiety. And I don't know what hits you, but when we take a look at our society as a whole, we notice that there are all sorts of things about the way somebody else may look that would cause us to step back. Okay? So, for instance, we can stop and think about these types of things. Piercings and tattoos, for some of us, just sort of cause us to back off a little bit. All right? The way somebody dresses may cause us to just back off, take a step away from that person. It just doesn't look right to us. The age of a person can cause us to just sort of step back. We walk into a church and it looks like it's just full of old people and we're not old. Maybe I'll find someplace else to go. Or older people see a group of younger people and just sort of think, well, I don't understand that group. I think I'm just going to step back here and develop my own opinions of them and make up stuff about them. We see this big time when it comes to the color of somebody's skin. Somebody's skin color is different. And it's interesting because leprosy is entirely about the color of somebody's skin. And only what's interesting is that leprosy is being offended because somebody's skin is turning white. So it's sort of the opposite of where the KKK and the neo-Nazis and so forth are in terms of the color of somebody's skin. But that's a big thing, a huge thing. I keep hoping our society will get over that. But events in the last days are showing that sin is, it looks like it's here till the rapture comes, I'm afraid. So, but it creates anxiety in people, to see somebody. If we see somebody who has a disabling condition, somebody who has a deformity, somebody who's in a wheelchair, somebody who has an amputation, somebody who, somehow looks to us like that person can't function entirely the way we do. It creates anxiety. The look of somebody can create anxiety with us. Somebody, we may look at somebody and we may say, well, that person is offensive because they're too fat. Or we may look at somebody, there are just all sorts of ways that we judge people by their looks. And we know that that's a little shallow. We know you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, and we know you shouldn't judge people by their looks. But it happens all the time anyway, even to those of us who like to think of ourselves as being enlightened. We still have those quick judgments that we make based on the initial look of somebody. And the way people look can cause us to feel anxious. So, what's the system that we develop? Well, the system that we develop to act out on those anxieties and on those fears is called segregation. We find ways to simply not have any dealings with those people because they make us feel anxious. Now, I want to say this. It's okay to feel anxiety. That's not the problem. We are going to have anxiety. It's okay to feel that. That's not sinful to feel anxious. It's not sinful for us to be uncomfortable around somebody. It's not sinful for us to feel an aversion even. Those are not where the sins come in. The sins come when we begin to caricaturize someone. You know what the word caricaturize means? It means that we focus on one or two things about a person. It's that we make a cartoon out of a person, okay? So, and usually cartoons are fun. You know, when we saw the old cartoons of President Obama, you know, it was his short afro hair and his big ears. Okay, that's what the caricature emphasized. With Donald Trump, it's his hair. That's what the cartoons emphasize. So a cartoon, a caricature, emphasizes usually just one or two characteristics of a person, and everything else disappears. And we do that with people in our minds. We will take a look at somebody, and if there's anything about the look that makes us anxious, that's what sticks in our mind. And we all the time make caricatures of people who make us anxious. All we see are those one or two features in our brains that cause us to be offended or feel an aversion towards somebody. So that's where the sin begins, is when we turn a human being into a caricature in our own minds. The sin begins when we begin to stereotype people. The sin begins when we begin to practice segregation and find ourselves... That's what leprosy is. That's how the system of leprosy worked. Leprosy, the system of leprosy was you segregate anybody who doesn't look right to you outside. They had to stay outside the village. And this is where the problem comes in. Is it any wonder that Jesus said to his followers, you've got to get out there and you've got to cleanse the lepers? It was one of the most compassionate, one of the most humane things that Jesus ever said to his followers. There are so many people who have been cut off because in people's minds, they've been made a caricature, they've been judged, they've been stereotyped, they've been segregated. You've got to get out there and cleanse the lepers. Now here's the thing. When the lepers were cleansed, the lepers were always cleansed not by doing something to them. Lepers weren't cleansed because you gave them some soap. Lepers weren't cleansed because you gave them some sort of medicine. Lepers were only cleansed when in the mind of the judge they were no longer deemed segregation worthy. So the only way to cleanse a leper is to cleanse the caricature that's going on in our own brains. Jesus says you've got to get out there and you've got to cleanse the leper. The only thing that changes is what's in the only thing that changes is the eye of the beholder. That's how lepers are cleansed. They're cleansed when a community stops judging, stereotyping, and segregating. That's when leprosy is cleansed. Notice Jesus doesn't say you have to heal the leper. It's not a disease. It's a social problem. And so, here's the thing about Jesus. It is from Jesus that we learn who God is. People, sometimes we have a hard time figuring out who God is. In the ancient world, they had trouble figuring out who God is. The Greeks, the Babylonians, they had their gods, and their gods were always... Do you notice the Greek and the Babylonian gods? They're always immature. They're always temperamental. They're always full of pride and orneriness and causing difficulties for people. But when Jesus reveals God to us, he doesn't reveal the gods that the Babylonians or the Greeks knew. Jesus reveals a God to us who's not temperamental. Jesus reveals a God who's not immature. Jesus reveals a God who's not arbitrary. Jesus reveals a God who's full of compassion. Jesus reveals a God who's full of desire for the community to stay together. Jesus reveals a God who doesn't care about so many of the things that cause us to fret. Things about each other. Think about the God who Jesus reveals. And in the passage this morning, where a leper comes up to Jesus and says, you know, if you want to, you could cleanse me of my leprosy. That's a very telling phrase, isn't it? If it's something you want to do, you can do it. The same message comes to us for everybody, from everybody who's been isolated, from everybody who's been segregated, from everybody who's been pushed aside because somehow they didn't look right. The message comes to the followers of Jesus just as the message came to Jesus. If you want to, I wouldn't have to be a leper anymore. If you want, we don't have to have this. I don't have to be ostracized. I don't have to be treated this way. If you want, it can be different. Powerful words from that leper to Jesus. And remember the words that Jesus said back. Of course, I want you to be a part of the community again. And the person was clean. No more. It's in our eyes. Thanks be to God. We have a miraculous power to heal some of the ugliest things that are going on in our nation and in our community today. Thanks be to God. We have the power. It's all up to what we want.